Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Invite all of them, all of our social friends, media friends, to come out and visit with us. You'll have a great time in the presence of the Lord. I promise you, it feels so much better here in the house than it does over the internet, but we want to welcome you and we thank you. Maybe you're from far away. We thank you for listening in. This morning, you're going to forgive me a little bit if I'm a little blurry in my thought. I'm actually quite moved this morning, and I've been wrestling all day along with my wife to hold back my emotions. It would be early this morning that we got a phone call from Sister Annis Chapin that my good and faithful mentor, friend, and pastor, Pastor Gary Chapin, has gone on to be with the Lord. As many of you have known him and loved him, I certainly can say this with great confidence. He loved us. He loved me. He loved Rock of Ages. He always told me that if there was a way that he could be closer to this area, this would be his home church, because he loved you all and loved us all. And love the spirit of praise and joy and the tenacity we reveal in holding on to God. We're going to miss him in his absence, but I don't need to tell you that he's probably not going to miss us up for a minute, because he finally gets to see the very God he preached for all these years face to face. And every ounce and every tug and pull the devil ever did on his body to hurt him and ail him, the devil's wrist has been broken once and for all in his life. And God has given him the victory. Sister Annis, of course, we send our heart out to her. She's obviously hurting. And I ask all of you to remember her in prayer. It'll be a hard week. I'm probably going to be traveling back up to Houston this week. They're from Pasadena, Texas, right up in Houston area for the arrangements. We're also very happy that Sister Gracie Guerra is here. Sister, where are you? Would you stand up? Yeah. Look at how beautiful she looks. Amen. We welcome you. And we're thankful that she's here. She's been under also going a good wrestling with certain issues in her life and all these things, and we continue to pray. I don't see brother and sister Lori here. I pray that she is well. We need to pray for them and anybody else who has a need. Well, as you know, this past week I've been gone. I thank you for your patience. And I know that Pastor Duke has been doing an excellent job. I get reports all the time that I expect nothing else except the best, because he is a blessing to us. So I go with great confidence. But I went this week for my stay at the hospital. And I really didn't stay, because it ended up that I'd spend a good 7 o'clock in the morning to 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, and they sent me home. They said, I think that you're able to crawl home and crawl back in the morning. So they actually did that, and they did their work on me. And as you can see, they pulled, tugged, poked, and pushed all kinds of things in my body to check things out concerning my issues. But one thing that all this time gave me, whether reports were good or bad, it gave me time to pray. My wife didn't go with me this time. She always accompanies, but she couldn't, because Erica is about to explode. Olivia is on her way, and it could very possibly be, I believe, this coming week by choice, 27th. I think we have a new member at Rock of Ages, a granddaughter. And so we're excited, but when she comes by the house, when we walk by her, we go like this, because we don't want to risk hurting our ears when she explodes. But she's carrying a beautiful baby girl for us. We trust. You never know what God does in the last, but they're calling it a girl, so we're believing it's Olivia, Mia's little sister. But so she couldn't go with me, but I was glad to go alone, even though I knew it was going to be a challenge because it was a whole week of me staying there at the hospital, and she normally likes to be there, and I do need that companionship and somebody to converse with and pray with. But I went alone. I think God planned it so that way as well, because I had plenty of time to talk to the audience of one, which is God. And so every morning and every night, during the day, I'd be reciting things I read in the scriptures in the morning to leave, and I take off and I go through all these things and remember His word while I was under the scope of doctors and getting all these things done. And I come home and I would lay down and or take a shower and lay down and just eat a little bit of something and then fall asleep because I knew the morning would come. I had a lot of questions for God concerning my situation, and I got phone calls from some of you going through situations. And you can't help sometimes but getting enveloped in your own situation a little bit. It's a serious thing. And also concern about your loved ones here at Rock of Ages, all of you who are undergoing certain things. I said, Lord, what about all of this at the end of the day? I said, we've tried to find answers. We ask, we do all these things. We raise our hands and we worship. And God, I mean, what now? And I begin to pray and ask God. I said, so give me some direction. And I need to tell you, I'm always very candid with you and honest. And whether it's embarrassed that I feel when I speak to God because He catches me on some little self-pity cycle loop that I'm in. Or I'll tell you that I feel pretty grand and victorious because God made me feel like a winner. But this time it was one of those humbling times that kind of, it's kind of like your father sitting there listening to you talk, and then you say, like, are you done? And you say, yes, Lord, I'm done. I say, well, then listen to this. And He took me to a scripture, and I asked the guys to put it out there. I think it's out of the book of Acts, if you would, please. I gave it to RPC guys. Tell me when it's up there. I don't have it up here with me. I will read it along the way, but I don't want to search for it at this time. There you go. And Acts 13:26 reads as follows. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me in the middle of the night while I was praying over you and over myself, my situation, your situation, and just everything in general. It doesn't have to be an ailment. It doesn't have to be. It could be anything you're wrestling with. This is what God gave me this morning. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning Him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have Him executed. That's a bad position to be in. You may remember some of the things that happened in between that time when the disciples walking to Emmaus were both hunched over, looking down at the ground, saying, wow, we thought He was the real thing. But now He's dead. What happened to our dreams? What happened to our future? What happened to our destiny? You may remember that during this time is when all the disciples ran into that room and hid away for the sake of not being found by the Roman soldiers and everybody else who would come to chastise them and possibly take them to the same death. So they hid. So you know the place the church was in. They were kind of in a hopeless situation because they had seen with their eyes what to them was reality. And I'm sure they talked amongst themselves. What's going to happen? I mean, what? And they looked for counsel amongst themselves to find an answer to all of the things that they were undergoing. Go back, please, if you would, son. He said, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about Him, you see, the prophets had already spoken that this was going to happen. They took Him down from the cross. This is Him after crucified. And they laid Him in a tomb. And right here, the next very couple of words. Ha. Is what jumped out of that word and grabbed me by the neck of my heart. But God. But God. But God raised him from the dead. I simply titled my message this morning in that simple two-word phrase, but God. Turn around and tell your neighbor this morning and begin to iron it well deep into the files of his heart and say, neighbor, but God. Say it like you mean it, like you want them to believe you, but God. I'm here to tell you, church, from this pulpit in the presence of the Lord, to every listening ear, especially those who are going through a dark time in your life, when things are seeming hopeless, it almost seems like it's done. There's no backing up from the situation. I'm here to tell you that directly from the line of heaven, we receive God's wisdom and His direction. And He says to you, never give up, but God. But God. There are a number of powerful two-word phrases in the Word of God, such as healed all and gathered in, cast out, raised up, pulled down. And in each of these phrases, they are used in context with speaking of the power of God. However, this one phrase that I've just made mention to you is said and given to us 43 times in Scripture. And because it's there so many times, obviously you know that it's something God knew we would forget more than anything else. So the power of redundance, God understands, especially in forgetful minds like you and I. Can I have an amen? Amen. I believe that this very two words next to all the wonderful text, the Word of God, that we have been given, and the words that I have received and tucked away in my heart. These very two words are what have encouraged me. Some of you ask me, Pastor, you look happy, you look smile, you look. It doesn't mean that my circumstance has changed. But one thing is that I'm standing on a certain foundation that keeps me striving forward toward that victory mark. Regardless of what the news you get, regardless of how sunny the sun is in the day or how cloudy your day may be, the foundation on which I stand and I want to encourage every one of you to stand on is but God. But God is a phrase that will always include in my foundation and should you as well. This is something we need to begin to practice to say to our friends when they come to us with their problems for prayer. Pray for them, but always end with saying, but God. That is the final statement that should come out of the believer that trusts and believes in the Lord. Everyone you speak to in a day who comes to talk to you about the challenges in their life, the last two things that they must hear you say, if you are indeed a truster of God, is but God. These two words communicate a tremendous message to all who will listen to it and embrace it. You see, the fact of the matter is that these two words are what should be our response to Satan in every challenge you face daily. That's right, Satan, but God. It should be our bottom line statement of faith and an absolute, a matter of fact every time we look into the eyes of a darkened situation, but God. The last words in the mouth of those who have believed in the Lord our Savior is always, but God. when viewed in relation to the challenges in life, but God is what up is to down, what life is to death, what in is to out. The world may say no, but God says yes. The world may say you can't, but God says do it, you can. The world says you won't, and God says yes, you will. The world says stop it, and God says move forward in progress. The world says don't, and God says do it. The world says you're defeated, and God says you're victorious. The world says die, but God said live. Hallelujah. The world said sit down and be quiet. You stand up, God says, and shout victory in the name of the Lord. Because we are standing on a word given to us by God. But God. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to myself right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to go into Holy Ghost revival in just a second. Hallelujah. These two words can climb the highest mountain and tear it down. It can pierce the darkest valleys. When heard in the ears of those who are in trouble, but God springs out a new song of victory in your spirit. Hallelujah. But God is able to exclaim and inject, hallelujah, in your heart a warrior spirit. Something that makes you say, I'm going down to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from me. Hallelujah. But God. I'm inviting you this morning and every listening ear to look at life's responses from God's perspective this morning, just for a moment. And I'm going to give you just three simple things. I could make this a 10-year series because there are so many beautiful instances where we see things going a certain way, but all of a sudden they are ruined. They are thwarted and destroyed because, but God. I'm encouraging you to put on your kingdom glasses and see things as God sees them. And I'm here to tell that regardless of what the devil in hell has to say about your circumstance and situation, I'm here to tell you it's not over, but God. I come to exhort you, encourage you, and convince you to stay the entire course of your walk in God. To leave any time earlier, you may miss the miracle. You may miss the very two words that will bring total satisfaction to your life, but God. Wait until you have heard from the voice of heaven, and the only thing you will hear that you can truly stand on is, but God. If you quit too soon, you will bankrupt yourself of the miracles that God has when he says, but God. Hallelujah. Now the jury today over your circumstance may be deliberating over your situation and all the votes are not in. Some of you are waiting for a committee, a doctor's group, a jury, a judge to give the final word over you. But that's not what we've been told to do in Scripture. We have been told to wait, but God. See what God has to say about you. He's already talking. He's already talking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait to see what he says about you, your circumstance, your life, your outcome, and your future. Many of you don't know about this too much. But the very book of miracles that you hold in your hand called the Bible, and if you don't hold it, you need to start holding that word. That book of overwhelming recorded deliverances that you have. The book of unbelievable and inconceivable overcomings that are recorded for us to listen to and read and embrace and trust in. This book of truth has the final say concerning your situation. There are so many instances where our adversary Satan is confounded and confused, and his back has been broken, as in the life of Brother Chapin this morning. He said, well, I'm going to destroy you completely. And in the eye, the normal eye, it may seem that we have lost the battle. But I'll tell you what, He's dancing in heaven today saying, this is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. Hallelujah. Why? But God. Hallelujah. There's stories of the devil's elaborate schemes, who may at the beginning may seem to be going well. And in the scripture we see how they fade out and are destroyed, coming to nothing, when God says, but God. All failing efforts because Satan failed to realize that God would be the only one that would have the final say-so over your issue. Let me give you three this morning. Can you handle these? Very simple. May not be divine revelation to some. But nonetheless, these very divine words is what allowed it to take place. The devil has always tried to destroy the destiny, the dreams, and the calling of a man. Always, since the beginning. And I'll speak to you in particular this morning, just for a few minutes, on the testimony of Joseph and how he, the son of Jacob, how the Lord gave him a dream and showed him and revealed to him his purpose in life, and how this ministry for this young man would be one that would allow him to step into a world of being savior to the people of God, the people of Israel. Now the Bible says that when he revealed this dream, and you know the story, to his brothers, the scripture goes on to tell us that the patriarchs moved with envy. His brothers moved with envy, and they thought of a way to rid of him. They were too proud to accept that God would have a ministry for this man, especially the young. So they tried to kill Joseph and destroy the plans of God and the destiny that God had written for his life. They took him and they stained him with blood and took back that coat of many colors to his father. And they said he was dead, but this time they had thrown him in a pit. And after some while, you would think it would be their conscience, but no, but God. They pulled him out as they saw a passing group of gypsies of Pharaoh. And they sold him off. Now he would be gone forever. And when he was up there, he would come across liars and all these things. And one in particular, Potiphar, who would accuse him and deal with him in a treacherous way because of a certain gossip of adultery. To soil his name. And to cast him in prison. And he does that with success. And so he's thrown in prison, but there. But God. I'm sure that in his mind he heard the echoes of his brothers, his envious brothers, saying, well, let's see what this young kid's dream will do now. Let's see what happens with him. We're going to see him destroyed. It's over for him. The devil was winning. Joseph was out. His father was convinced he was dead. But please notice that in Genesis 39 and 21, and I have a few scriptures, so we'll move quickly through them. If you want to jot them down on your notes, please do. If not, listen to this podcast and you'll get the information you need, I pray. Genesis 39:21, the Bible said that God was with Joseph and showed him kindness instead of a prison. But God. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I simply want to say, by bringing out Joseph, and tell many, many of you today, that if you will look to God, even when it seems that the devil has got an upper hand on you, and you've been in the pit and you've been sold off, and people are convinced that you are in a dead position. And you may have suffered the essence of ugliness of that prison and sadness, unfulfillment, failure, disappointment, and whatever that particular circumstance you're in has brought to you. You will turn your trials into triumph if you'll just ask God. Because God always has a but God for us, His children. You must trust in no one else but God. Some of you have been told years ago that you wouldn't make it another year financially or physically. You wouldn't get out of the hospital. This ailment was going to take you down for the last time. You were going to suffer this way or the other. And you're sitting here today rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. You know why? Say it with me. That's right. Oh, man, you are becoming so dangerous today. I'm sure the devil's going to have a warrant out for you. Careful. But when he comes to you to serve this warrant, he says, you want to take me to prison? Yeah. But God. But God. Take it to him. We spoke to Sister Chapin this morning in the passing of our good friend and brother. There was in her writings a certain sense of obviously pain. But I have to be honest that even in that news, there was a sense of pop in her walk. Because she is a but God woman. And all of us, God is desiring that we become but God people. And regardless of what the doctors may say, regardless of what this person may say, regardless of what the whole community says, you have one thing, but God. But God. Your situation may seem dead, and I don't think anybody could find themselves in a worse predicament than Christ himself. You see, the Roman government had already done their work, and when they had written down and done all the things that were written down to be done, they finished. They say, well, you know what? Crucify him, let him die, just put him in a borrowed tomb, and let's seal it with a stone, and we're done. I think I'm done this morning. But God. But God. Secondly, and again, this will only be important to those of us who understand and have embraced our salvation. Did you know that the devil didn't want you saved? I don't care how nice a guy or woman or family you've been all your life. That's perfect for a family to go to hell. Did you know that there are no good people in heaven? Did you know that? Huh? Pastor? No. There's only saved people in heaven. There's only blood-washed people in heaven. There are only those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus in heaven. You see, this world is full of good people. Good people everywhere. I met in the hospital, I met so many good people. I always meet so many good people. But is that what qualifies to go to heaven? I'm sure Jesus was surrounded by good people, sympathists. And man, they're chasing you. Well, let me help you out. You're cold. Let me give you this, this, and the other. And just real nice people. But that's just really close, but not close enough to get the prize. And so God, don't be fooled that if you think God is going to accept niceness as a qualification, it's not going to happen. The Bible says you must receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And unto you will be given the very keys of heaven, the Bible says. A place to inherit and call yours forever in the presence of the Almighty God. And so there's the world complete almost today believing that's the truth. And so, meaning to say that the devil will do anything to keep you just shy from winning the prize. Because he doesn't want you saved. Now, it's easy for the criminal to identify a criminal or someone who's got a real bad issue with the law and doing just all kinds of evil things and say, wow, that guy truly is unsaved. But what about the nice people? The same effort that the devil uses to keep the mind of a murderer or a pedophile or whatever is out there, whatever, and this and the other, to keep him unsaved, he uses the same effort to keep that guy that says, hey, man, he's a real nice guy. Some of you girls wanting to date a real nice guy. Is he saved? Well, you know, no, he's not saved. Some of you ladies looking for marriage for a husband, I go, oh, he's always been a respect. Hey, God's not looking for respecters. He's looking for saved people that'll accept his atonement for their sin. You see, God, that's not one of the qualifications. If you are good, you're in. But you see the effort that the devil is doing and making just to keep you unsaved. Ephesians 2 and 1 is the passage of choice from this particular principle this morning, and I read to you as it reads, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sin's nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, objects of wrath. What wrath? God's wrath. We were certainly doomed to face the judgment of God in our position. All of us were born into ungodliness. Not one searched for righteousness. Every one of our deeds as filthy rags. Nothing we could do to merit salvation or pity or love or anything else from God. To have Him come and leave His throne. To come and mingle with sinful humanity like you and I, nothing. This is how the world we were born in. And so that makes us excellent material for the becoming objects of wrath. But verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. But did you hear but God? Did you hear but God? How the whole plan was to keep you doomed, bound. And God saw that and He said, no, no, no. That may be the plan that the enemy has, but God. Don't forget, it's always but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. I love this Living Translation, Living Bible Translation. Let me read that verse 4 and on to you again. You see, we lived our lives expressing the evil within us during every wicked thing that our passions and our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and we're under God's wrath just like everyone else. But listen to what it says here in the Living Bible Translation, just for the sake of its English. But God, who is so rich in mercy, He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed in our sins, He gave us back our lives again when He raised Christ from the dead. Only by His undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with Him in the heavenly realms, all because of what Jesus did, but God. We were created perfect in the garden. We were introduced to sin and rebellion came, and we were putrefied with sin and became unworthy. And so we know now that we're all at the beginning created to be as kings, to be as royalty, to be rulers. But then we were demoted from that position to becoming sinners because we followed the lust of our flesh. And God saw that. And while the devil may have had a celebration in hell saying, "We got him," nobody has a chance to ever go with him. Ever. And I'm sure every demon in hell was asking him, "Really, are you sure? Have you asked everybody around? Are we absolutely sure we won this thing?" Absolutely. Everybody in the roster you've asked, do they equate the same total? Yes. And I can almost see the Lord peeking in and going like, "Hey, you forgot to ask me. But God." And because of "but God," those important two words, you and I, 2,000 plus years later, are saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Every single one of us. We can thank God today that His word is the last word. We can thank God today that He's the one that stood up on behalf of us and spoke the last word. He did not let the condemning devils be and have their final word, but it'll always be God's. Be thankful for salvation. Your salvation began in "but God." We're not saved by ourselves or anything we could have done to deserve this kind of salvation, but God. And when you believe that, you'll be able to run away and escape from all senses of greed and pride and indifference and "we're better than you" and "you're lost and I'm not" kind of thing. Because we are all saved by the "but God" in the scripture. Your situation that you're in today, whatever you've heard, whatever you've been written, whatever you've been, I don't care, they put it on the on the big screen. It still has to finish today, but God. But God. He has the last word. And as I was thinking of Pastor Chapin this morning, I know he celebrates. It was "but God" that stopped the death in the grave. Mortality isn't something that young people think about too much. At least I did not for a long time. But now you get older and you find out that the old wheels don't turn as smooth as they used to before. Your body's getting a little tired and you're beginning to see the tracks of your life in your face and your arms and your hands and the way you walk. But for a young kid that's 18, I mean, I'm telling you, full speed ahead. But the fact of the matter is that from the day of birth and just conception, death begins to work. Yes? And so we all know, every single one of us, in the next 70 years, 50 years, I don't know, this will be a whole new generation. None of us will be here. And what else do we have to hope for after all of this is done? There are certain uncertainties that we have because we believe Scripture and we know it's true, but yet it's kind of like in our own mortal finite thinking, we want someone to go there and come back and say, "No, it's real true, man, for real. I went up there and I saw God's house and wow." And we've had testimonies of such. But still, there's certain unbelieving element that says, "Well, no, I don't know, man. Well, Paul went to the third heaven, yeah, but what did he see? What happened? You know, can you kind of show me a picture?" something that'll confirm that more. And so I believe that in every individual that's going to pass off into eternity, I think they'll always have that little niche of, here we go, man, this is the big swing. There's no coming back from this wherever I land kind of thing. But faith will teach you, obviously, and have taught us to believe and to be joyful that tomorrow is in God's hands. But what will bring us more to a matter of fact and confidence and lead all fears away concerning tomorrow is to know that God said, but God. But God. I read this scripture opening this morning out of Acts chapter 13, verse 26. And I'll just read verse 29, if you will, guys, on the PC. Acts 13 and 29 said, when they had carried out all that was written about him, his life was over. And they took him down from the tree and laid him on the tomb. They did the final works. They dressed him up. They took him to a grave. And it was done. But verse 30 is the very verse that makes me jump with joy and confidence. But God raised him from the dead. See, for Jesus, they tried to kill him at birth. You remember? In life, they cursed him, ostracized him, beat him, insulted him, condemned him. So much were their anger that even while on the cross, they went on to spear him. And to add insult to injury, they insulted him. Now, let's see who the King of Glory is. Make the angels come and fly you off into La La Land. They finally killed him. They pull him down and they plant him in a borrowed tomb just to reveal some kind of poverty and poorness about the man. They saw he had no breath, and in their hearts they knew they had sealed the deal. And to seal the deal, they took a stone and they covered the tomb, and the king put his signet ring on it and set guards to watch it to make sure that someone would not come and play a little game with them and take the body. When they concluded they had finished the work, something happened, the Bible says. Now you may remember that even the disciples asked themselves, is this it? Is he gone for good? Did the devil and everybody who was anti-Christ at that time prove victorious over this once believed Savior of ours? And they were in dismay. They were hiding. The others were walking away to other cities. And you'll agree with me that it's easy to be enveloped in those kind of feelings when you're being bombarded back and forth. And then they kind of show you in the face, this is your outcome. But I find that as I read their story and how they conversed with each other and where they were doing during that time, they had one mistake that even they who walked with him made. How much more us who have neither seen him or physically walked with him. They became so distraught and helpless simply because of one thing that I want you to remember today and never forget. They were asking themselves and not God. Did you hear what I said? We spend time at the altar. We spend time counseling with each other. We spend time together. We have our weeping parties and our sad parties and despair and agony on me times. And those are good because we're called to encourage each other. But then you get up from that situation just as dismayed and disillusioned, frustrated and feeling like a failure when you walk away. Why? Because the conversation didn't end with the last two final words. But God. Did you ask God? All these guys and everyone else and every one of us in this place needs to learn. What they should have done was to ask God. Every disciple would have walked away in victory knowing, but God. They remember that kind of, but they were speaking in past tense. Well, he said he would. I sure hope he pulled it off, man. That's a big stone right there. They beat him up pretty bad. That cross was pretty ugly. They dropped him pretty hard. That crown of thorns really made him bleed a lot. Hey, that spear, I mean, they drew water and blood out of him. I mean, that's got to be a visceral organ in there that they got, a mortal organ they got. So I'm just hoping he pulled it off. You see, God never wants us to talk like that about him. Because he never talks to us like that. He never comes to you in the middle of your cancer, your situation, in your liver disease, in your whatever, and says, well, you know, this is going to be a tough one. Let's go ahead and talk to the manager, see how I can work this out, and I hope I can pull it off. I'll pull the best strings I know. When we turn around and say, Lord, what do you have to say about this? He'll say, but God. But God. They were looking for the last word on the matter from themselves. They did not ask the holder of the last word over their second circumstance. To their unbelievable surprise, the Bible says that God raised him from the dead. But God. I pray this simple message this morning speak to you what it spoke to me Tuesday night in Houston in a room by myself. About 2 in the morning when I was reading God's word, I could not sleep because I was kind of aching in my body. I had messages and texts from you and some of you who had been going through some situations that were seeming hopeless, I know. And I wept for you when I prayed. But it's almost as if God made me to feel and said, don't tell them to ask you, man. Or you tell them something. Well, I don't know what to say, God. Right, I know. But you are supposed to tell him who does know. And so I've come here this morning to tell you that I know who you should ask. Because he promised me that any time you ask him, he will have the final say over your circumstance. And you'll be surprised that he will always do above more than you could ever ask for or imagine. And the situation that you thought would swallow you up and destroy you, it may have, could have, and would have, but God. So stop listening to the lies of the devil. Realize that God has the final word. Learn to see things from the Father's perspective. Incline your ear to hear, but God and nothing else. This may concern your business, an illness, your marriage, etc., whatever it could be that the devil is trying to kill in your life. Ask God. And you'll find that in every situation, Satan may say defeat, but God says victory. Satan may say disease, but God says healing. Satan says forever in prison, and God says forever free, and free indeed. Now turn around and tell your neighbor, don't you ever forget, but God. But God. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But I know that God's already spoken to a few of you this morning. You're going through a dark situation, and many of us are. But you're willing to let but God step in. You're going to stop reading the self-help books. Start reading up and trying to find out what the best doctor in the world has to say about it. Stop believing in completion what the best counselor, even the best pastor, has to say about your situation logically. Commit today to take your circumstance to receive nothing else but God. If that's you this morning, willing to commit to that over your situation, I want those of you who are saying, I will live but God, stand and get in my circumstance. Stand up. You're going through a tough time in your life here. Thank you. Many of you. God has always wanted you to depend on what He has to say. The problem is that in this beautiful America that we love and we live in, thank God for America. God bless our nation. And God gave us this free world that we live in today so that we could move about freely, worship, pray, read God's word, gather today like we have in this beautiful venue, in this beautiful church with this beautiful people. But He never intended for us to forget but God. Because when all of this fades away and the dust finally settles, you'll find out that you may have lived your life according to the counsels of men and did okay. But you've caught up, you could have leaned on but God and lived your life in victory. You've got a situation this morning that you're going through, but you're willing to say, but God. If that's you, I want to see your hand in the air now. And I want you to profess it. Say, Lord, from this moment on, it won't be what I say, what I assume, what I predict, what someone else says, someone who thinks they know, even the best counselors in the world, and those who profess to know the outcome of all things. I won't depend on that. From this moment on, my circumstance, my situations, my life in total will always stand on the foundation, the unshakable foundation, the matter of fact foundation, the absolute truth foundation of but God. But God is what I will trust in from this day forward till I see you face to face. Oh, I'm not worried anymore, Lord. Hallelujah. Say what you say, devil in hell. Say what you say, naysayer, unbeliever. Say what you say, antichrist of this present generation. I say to you, okay, but God. And we will stand on that today. As you're standing and you surrender these things to God, I want to make this invitation as I always do every Sunday morning. This God that I'm talking about this morning is a God that wants to be God of all men. Yet so much of humanity has denied Him and had thrown Him out. But you're here today and He's reaching out to you. My question to you is, have you accepted this God as your Savior? Are you letting Him have the last say in your life and circumstance? Have you taken time to ask Him about your eternity and how to get there? I'm here to invite you simply this morning, and I'm not going to tug on you other than just invite you in the name of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit. Because no one can come unless he is wooed by the Spirit of the Lord. That you would come to Him today and make Him your Lord and Savior. And He commits to you to make you owner and deed holder of those two words in all you do and experience in life. But God, whenever you face something terrible and negative in your life and your doom seems to be at hand, you'll never forget to say yes. But God, you will declare but God in every situation, and you will see that the mighty hand of God will move in your favor. With every head bowed in the presence of the Lord, I make this invitation. Would anybody say yes to Christ today? I want you to lift your hand even higher where I can see you. Yes, if that's you, yes, thank you. Please, anybody else, lift your hand. You say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I need God to have His last word in my life. Yes. Sister Angie over here, we have somebody right here. Yes. Anybody else, we have somebody back there as well. Ushers, please, be assertive. Find these people. Some are lifting their hands. Bring them up to the altar. We want to pray with them and celebrate with them today. Anybody else would say, but God, I want Him to be my Lord and Savior today, Pastor. I'm not here to make this church my Savior. I'm not here, Pastor, to make you my Savior. I'm not here to make religion my Savior. I'm here to ask God to be my Lord and Savior. I've lived my life in too many circumstances and trusting in too many things. I want to learn to trust in but God. Anybody else, raise your hand to heaven quickly. Quickly, there are people inviting you to come. Please, come. Jesus wants to meet with you today. You'll never be the same again, I promise you. But God. Thank you, thank you. We're going to pray now, and I make this last invitation. Anybody would say yes to Christ? Run quickly, we're going to pray. I trust that everybody else in this congregation, there are many of you, the reason you're not raising your hand to come is because you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We won't want anybody unsaved in the house of God. We want this place empty when Jesus comes for our church. In reverence to the Lord, please lift up your hands, congregation. Let us pray over these people at this altar. Thank God for salvation in the house of God. For every believer here that's coming to give their life to Christ, I thank you. There's a great celebration about to take place in the next few seconds when you say yes to Jesus. We're given instruction by Scripture to pray a simple prayer. And I'm going to lead you with it this morning. If you would loudly profess it in confession to Christ and simply say, Jesus, I come to you today because I'm tired of living my life on false pretenses, false counsel, false direction, false information. And I choose today to make you my Lord and Savior, asking you to forgive me of my waywardness and sin. Cleanse me with your blood from all unrighteousness. I commit to make you my Lord and Savior every day of my life from this moment on. I will learn to stand every day of my life, regardless of what my day may bring. And the last word of any situation is, but God, it's what you have to say. You are the determiner and the finisher of every step I take. And you will lead me to glory, from glory to glory, because you said. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Thank you for recording my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I now declare my name saved, not because of what I've done, because of what you have done. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for everyone. Father, we thank you for this morning's word. We thank you for salvation in the house of God. We thank you, God, that in this house there is a spirit of praise and salvation. For all glory and praise goes only unto you, Father. And we are a people here at Rock of Ages who have learned and are learning and will continue to learn to stand on but God. Because we know you as the absolute, as the final say, as the God of all knowledge, wisdom, and power. Bless your people, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in every circumstance that they're going through, they said it themselves. From this moment on, it's but God. And so we give it to you. Have your way, because it is the only way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.